Welcome into the debut episode of the Rocky Top Talk podcast. I am your host, Terry Lambert, also the site manager at Rocky Top Talk. I am joined, as always, by Evan Winter. Evan, how are you tonight?
Good, man, good. Stoked to be doing this. I'm excited. You know, we've been at Rocky Top Talk now for almost 2 years, and it's about time we actually started hitting the airwaves, man.
Yeah, Evan's been on me to start one of these for some time now. So,
I'm just looking, I say.
Yeah, happy to get this going. About time. So we're gonna try and do this at least once a week, maybe twice a week. We'll just kind of see how it goes here. As we go, obviously you can find all of our work at rockytoptalk.com. That's where you're going to find the most up-to-date stuff, but you're going to be able to find this podcast anywhere you get your podcast, Spotify, Stitcher, anything like that, iTunes. It'll obviously be on the site as well. So with that, we'll kind of hop right in here. We're recording this on Thursday night. The Chance Hall news has just broke. Jeremy Pruitt in Nashville tonight said that Chance Hall is going to give up football. Hall is a guy that started a lot of games for UT, but has just, you know, never really been able to put it all together due to injury. He's fought through a shoulder issue and missed all of 2017 with a knee injury. So it's just an unfortunate situation for Chance Hall. And, man, I tell you, it's Tennessee's veteran depth on the offensive line, it's hurting right now. But luckily, the Vols have pulled in quite a recruiting class to kind of alleviate some of that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, this position, I mean, for the Vols just has had absolutely zero luck, you know, over the past 6 or 7 years. You know, ever since really, and I can't even believe I'm saying this, ever since Tiny Richardson was around, you know, the Vols really haven't had any kind of stalwarts on the offensive line. You know, the one guy when they finally caught a break, Trey Smith, you know, his future's in doubt with, the blood clots in his lungs, that issue. Yeah, man, it's terrible to hear the news about Chance Hall. And I had no idea this happened until about 10 minutes before we went on. I was actually submitting my preview for the basketball game this weekend and saw your post in the editorial. And, yeah, I mean, I got to agree, especially with, you know, one of your last paragraphs, or actually, sorry, your last paragraph. I mean, how lucky is it that the Vols got Wanya Morris and Darnell Wright in this recruiting class?
Yeah, I mean, that leads us into the main topic here, signing day. Tennessee absolutely crushed it on the offensive line front. Best offensive line class in the country. 2 5-stars, Wanya Morris, Darnell Wright, are going to be asked to contribute immediately. Probably are your starting left and right tackles at least.
You would hope so. Definitely.
Yeah, definitely. So there's you know, three more guys in there that are going to have a chance to contribute early. But, I mean, you talk about Drew Richmond, who's in the transfer portal. He's probably gone. I don't see any way he comes back. So it's going to be young, but there's a lot of talent there. So adding Darnell Wright, adding Wanya Morris, that is a great way to flip this offense around because – when I look at this offense, you know, you can have your gripes about Jerry Garantano and what this running game did. But I think the quickest way to turn around an offense is to really max out that offensive line. So Tennessee certainly did that in the 2019 class. The 2020 class looks loaded as well. So Tennessee's got a real shot here to get some beef up front in the coming years.
Yeah, man, and you got to love what they did. I mean, you nailed it right on the head. I mean, two tackles that are going to start on the outside instantly, or like we said, at least we'd hope they'd start instantly. And, you know, now they've just got to figure out the interior offensive line. They've got some guys returning from last year. Yeah, you know, Drew Richmond's in the transfer portal, but, you know, he was just a disappointment his entire time.
Agreed.
Here. So, yeah, I mean, I remember, man, when we stole him from Ole Miss, I was just like, oh, it's on. But, yeah, that was just a whole completely different scenario. But, yeah, you know, and if by some stroke of good luck, which we know doesn't really occur on Rocky Top very often, if Trey Smith comes back, man, whatever side of, you know, on the interior he starts on, you're talking about one hell of a side of the offensive line.
Yeah, Pruitt updated, gave a non-update, said everything's the same with Trey Smith, who,
really,
you know, look, everyone wants him back, but he's got some more important stuff to deal with right now.
Exactly.
Football's on the back burner for him, dealing with the blood clot issue. So it's a serious deal. So wish him all the best. Hopefully we haven't seen the last of him, because that guy's a heck of a football player. The other big story on signing day, Tennessee pulled one off, man. They pulled a rabbit out of the hat. Henry Tuoto, pulling him away from Alabama and Washington, really just pulling him away from Nick Saban. You know, Tosh Lupoy leaving in December to go to the Cleveland Browns, I think, was a huge deal here. Jeremy Pruitt was able to capitalize. And this was a spot where the Tennessee needed to fulfill. I mean, you just got the impression last year that despite Tennessee having some veteran leadership up there, Daniel Betuli, Darren Kirkland, guys like that, he just wasn't real impressed. They just needed a jolt of talent. Thought we were getting that with J.J. Peterson, and we all know how that played out. Hopefully he's back in the fold this year. Now you're talking about Tuoto coming in with Quavarrus Crouch. That's a pretty nasty inside linebacker combination, if that's where those two end up.
Yeah, see, he's listed as a an outside linebacker. So it's going to be interesting to see what they do. You know, and Jeremy Pruitt's defense, those hybrid type defenses, you know, they play guys all over the place. So, but regardless, yeah, it's pass rushing depth. It's linebacker depth, which, you know, I believe what Darrell Taylor finished with 8 sacks last year.
Yeah, only registered sacks and 3 to game. So yeah,
right. Yeah, exactly.
Kind of weird stat.
So yeah, I mean, even though, you know, that stat's very, very misleading. Tennessee needs a pass rush. It's obvious that pass rush or good pass rush wins in the SEC, you know, which if you win in the SEC, most likely you're going to be in the national conversation, you know, 9 times out of 10. I really like the signing of Roman Harrison. You know, he play weak side defensive end. You know, he'll play on that backside, you know, in pursuit a lot. Tells me he's got a lot of quickness. 6'2", 235. I really like that signing. I know, you know, he was a little bit already, you know, figured out, and, you know, it wasn't much of a surprise, but I really like that signing a lot.
Yeah, I'm interested to see where Crouch and Tuoto land. I think Roman Harrison, like you said, is an outside guy, but Pruitt has talked about those 4-for-4 guys, you know, guys that can play all 4 positions in the linebacker group. So maybe these two are a good example of that. But just good to get some blue chippers in here. I think above all else, Tennessee just needs talent. And they certainly took a step forward with that. All right, so when we come back, we're going to shift gears and look at the number one basketball team in the country.
Yes, sir.
All right, we are back. Tennessee's really good at basketball, y'all.
Yeah, in case you haven't heard.
Yeah, number one team in the country. They're just blowing through the SEC. You know, before we get into what's coming up next, just we need to talk about this team a little bit. It's just amazing to me how they haven't really seemed to put the pieces all together. You know, maybe outside of that Georgia game, outside of that first half against Arkansas, it just seems like they get to the second half of these games. You know, it's close, and then they shift gears and they say, "All right, let's end this."
Well, they figure it out, you know. I mean, they know what they're good at. They know what they all can do. You know, they've played around each other for so long. They know each other's strengths, and they know how to get each other in the perfect position. And the best thing about all of it is they're not selfish, you know. I mean, what? They're first – they lead the country in assists per game, at 20 assists per game. So, and they're second in assist-to-turnover ratio. I mean, Gonzaga is number one. That's the only other team that's ahead of them. In case you haven't heard, Gonzaga is pretty good unless they play us. So, you know, I mean, this is just an overall good team that knows how to get it done.
Yeah, I thought 2 nights ago was a good example of that. Kind of an ugly game against Missouri. You know, that's how Konzo likes to play. That's his style.
Right.
You know, just not a fantastic night from Grant Williams, only 13 points. Schofield got it going a little bit. Jordan Bone, his shot was off. Just a night where the offense just didn't seem to be flowing. But they still, you know, they won by 12. It was a 15-point game for most of the second half there. So just the latest example of Tennessee just flat figuring it out when it matters the most.
Right. Well, and dude, I'm not going to lie. I blinked my eyes with about 7 minutes and 45 seconds. And whenever my eyes reopened after that one blink, there's about 7:45 left in the game. There was probably about 4.5 minutes left in the game. So, yeah, Quanto Martin, he had his defense slowing the game down, and it almost lulled me to sleep there at the end.
Yeah, same, similar situation against Texas A&M, and then a similar situation against the South Carolina game before. So, Tennessee just does what they do, and they just bury people in the second half. So, up next, we've got Florida. That was a really interesting game down in Gainesville. It was kind of the first game since that Gonzaga game where you thought, hey, Tennessee might take an L here. But once again, they figured it out. It was late. This was a tie game. You know, Florida led late.
Right.
It seems like they were just throwing up threes and everything was going down, which is another theme for Tennessee's opponents this year. But Florida took a ton of threes, hit a ton of threes in the first half, kind of cooled off. But late in that one, Grant found Admiral Schofield, and Admiral put that one away.
Yeah, man, they just ran away with it. And fortunately for, you know, the Vols, yeah, and you're absolutely right, that has been kind of the mantra of the season on defense, is they just range threes. I mean, Texas A&M was just drilling them. And Texas A&M is terrible from three. I think they averaged like less than 30% on the season before that game. And they hit like, what, 43% of their threes or something like that?
Yeah, it's pretty strange. You know, Tennessee always seems to start decent, you know, build like a 10-point lead. And then somewhere in the first half, it seems like they fall asleep, and some of this is dumb luck and just guys hitting shots, but
right.
It just seems like the defense falls asleep at times. I know last time I looked on KenPom, they were 44th in defensive efficiency, which, you know, isn't bad by any stretch of the imagination, but if you're the number one team, you want that number to be lower.
I
think they're very susceptible to that 3-point shot, and that's what's dragging them down right now.
Well, yeah, unfortunately for them, Florida is a 157th in the nation in three-point percentage. So I don't think they're going to have too much trouble with that. The guy they've got to worry about in that regard, though, for the Gators is Noah Locke. They're really, really good freshmen. I think he shoots like 42% from three-point on the season or some number like that. And, man, if you look at his correlation throughout the season, anytime he's shooting well from beyond the three, and you can look at the Texas A&M game when Florida played Texas A&M, he had 20 career high 27 points in that game. He went 7 of 13 from three. He went 9 of 18 from the floor. So he went, what, 2 of 5 from, you know, inside the three-point arc, but, you know, hit 7 of 13 from three. It's absolutely crazy.
And, you know, that coupled with Kevon Allen, you know, we know what he can do.
He's tough, man.
Yeah, he tore us up down in Gainesville. Florida just hadn't been playing very well, though. You know, losers right. of three of the last four,
yep.
Lost to TCU, beat Ole Miss, but then had a couple tough games. You know, got to give it to them against Kentucky, at Auburn. That Auburn game wasn't even close. It was a blowout. The score is closer than it should be there. Auburn seems to be figuring it out. But Florida seems to be going the opposite direction. You know, sitting 12-10. Ninth overall in the SEC. You know, they weren't expected to do big things in this league this year, but still, the pressure's on Mike White. You know, Gators fans are starting to want him gone. It's a program that's performed at a high level, obviously. You know, you go back to the mid-2000s there with Joakim Noah and all of those guys. 12-10 is not going to get it done for the Florida Gators.
No, man, not at all, especially not a 4-5 record in SEC play. And if they get swept by us this weekend, that'll be the first time we've swept them or won. We've beaten them back-to-back, but it'll be the first time we've beaten them back-to-back in one season since the glorious 2008 season.
Just looking ahead at this Tennessee schedule, it's kind of backloaded.
Very backloaded. It's like an NFL contract.
Yeah. It's kind of odd that you haven't played Kentucky yet. So you've got that big one coming up next weekend.
Awfully convenient on scheduling of that part, right?
Yeah. So you go to number 5 Kentucky at Rupp. That's going to be this team's first test in some time, really. And then after that, obviously Kentucky's going to come to Tennessee. You finish, you know, you've got at LSU. You've got a home game against Mississippi State. Then you make the trip to Auburn to play Bruce Pearl to end the season. So it's a pretty backloaded schedule. You feel really good about this team right now and what they're doing. But I think it's important to remember that this schedule is definitely backloaded and Tennessee's got some late tests coming.
Yeah, man, those last five games, I mean, like you said, LSU, Ole Miss, Kentucky, Mississippi State, Auburn, three of those five are on the road. I mean, dude, that right there is enough just to – that's the most important stretch of the season. You know, and I'm actually really excited to see that LSU game. LSU is such a sleeper, and Will Wade, you know, wasn't he out of Chattanooga?
Yeah, I actually interned with him when I went to school down there.
Oh, so nice. So yeah, that's who you were talking about before the show. That's awesome, man.
Yeah, he's a really good coach. You know, you just kind of knew that he was going to do big things down there. He's super young at Chattanooga, but yeah, he's got LSU playing well. He's got them turned around pretty quickly. So LSU's got some talent. That's a road game. It's weird. That's a noon tip.
Yeah, noon. I'm looking at that right now. So, that's 11 o'clock here. Oh my god!
And LSU, I believe, still has. Yeah, they're 8-1 in conference.
That's gonna be a good game.
Along with Kentucky. So yeah, Tennessee's still undefeated. So that's gonna be a key matchup when you start to talk about SEC regular season. Can Tennessee go back to back? That game at Kentucky, at LSU, and then home against Kentucky. That's gonna determine the SEC champion.
Well, and I'll throw in a quick college connection of mine as well. Ole Miss's new head coach, Kermit Davis.
Yeah.
He is MTSU's old head coach, and that's where I went to school. And I got to interview him a couple times whenever I was doing my news classes and all that good stuff back then. So, looks like we'll have some extra storylines to watch in those back to back games there.
Yeah, Kermit Davis has taken over Ole Miss and turned them right around. I know they've kind of faltered here a little lately, but. That's a team that really didn't do much last year with Andy Kennedy. Kermit has come right in and just really turned them around. So had them ranked, they've fallen out since. But Tennessee going to Ole Miss to end February, I don't think anyone's going to take that one lightly. That's a spot where it's going to be yet another test for this Tennessee team.
Yes, sir, it will. That's for sure.
All right, so that'll do it for tonight. That'll do our first show. Once again, we are the Rocky Top Talk podcast. You can find this on rockytoptalk.com, wherever you get your podcast. We're going to try and do this once a week, maybe twice a week come tournament time. So thanks, Evan, for joining us. We're gonna be here weekly from here on out, so be sure you subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast. Thanks again for listening.